The Old Testament reading for the 15th Sunday after Pentecost is from Genesis chapter 50. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear. For am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear, I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans, Chapter 14. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. Peter came up and said to Jesus, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold, with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is Matthew chapter 18, 21 to 35, the gospel lesson you just heard. The title of the sermon is Forgiving from the Heart. Imagine, if you can, what it would be like to be sold by your own brothers and sisters into slavery. You would get the feeling, if I can't trust my own flesh and blood, who can I trust? You would vow revenge and pray that God would curse them here on earth and punish them in hell. You would never forget their crime the rest of your short and miserable life. You would wake up every morning hating them, and rightfully so. In Dante's Inferno, the lowest places of hell are reserved for those who betray their family, their best friends, and their country. Now, the amazing thing about the story of Joseph, which was in our Old Testament lesson, is that he did none of these things. From his betrayal in chapter 37 of Genesis until his death in chapter 50, Joseph showed no signs of hatred, revenge, or animosity toward his own flesh and blood. Although Joseph may have felt that way before he came to prominence in Egypt, there is no record of it. We know for sure that when his brothers appeared in court, he welcomed them as his family. He provided for them and all the grandchildren. And even after Jacob died, Joseph pledged that he would not avenge his betrayal, but would continue to provide for and protect all the family of Jacob until his death. He never budged from that promise of fidelity to his family. It is therefore interesting that when Peter asked Jesus about forgiveness, he asked him, "How many times should I forgive my brother?" Notice he mentioned his brother. Family conflicts and jealousies were as strong among the disciples of Jesus as it was among the sons of Jacob. Peter may have even had a recent incident with his brother, and we know his name, that's Andrew. We know that the disciples did not always get along with each other, and some were flesh and blood brothers. In Luke 9, the evangelist reports that a dispute arose among them as to which of them would be the greatest. That's verse 46. At the Last Supper, Luke reports, "There was also a rivalry among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest." Luke 22, 24. Now, we don't have a painting or mural of Da Vinci's Last Supper in our sanctuary. I've served congregations that have that. Sometimes it's part of the altar. But every time I see Da Vinci's Last Supper, I say to myself, You know, those guys, not Jesus, but all the disciples, just finished arguing with each other over who was the most important. Some saints they were. Jesus' answer to Peter about forgiveness was in the form of a parable. It is known as the unforgiving servant or steward. It is about a steward who owed a king 10,000 talents. Now you have to translate that into dollars today. One talent was worth 3,000 shekels of silver. So the debt that the steward owed to the king was equal to 1,000,000 times the amount of money that Judas received from the high priest to betray Jesus. 1,000,000 times more. What could the king do? The king was going to sell the steward and his wife and children and liquidate everything that he owed to pay the debt. Now, this was not just a common, ordinary steward. It'd be more like a minister of some type of government, a government official, so he would have had some money. The steward pleaded with him to have mercy. And, surprisingly, the king forgave him everything. The same steward then found another man who owed him 100 denarii, and that would be 4 small gold coins in Roman coinage. The debtor pled for mercy, but the steward refused and threw him into debtor's prison. The king found out about the steward's lack of mercy, had him arrested, and sent him to the torturers until he paid in blood and pain all of his original debt. Jesus then ended the parable with these words, and this is the application. So my heavenly Father will do to each of you if you do not forgive your brother his sin against you from your heart. Wow. Let that one sink in. It should really make you sit up and take notice. The message is plenty clear. If you, a believer in Christ, who has been forgiven all your sins, do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart, the Father will turn you over to the torturers in hell on the day of judgment. And it's the same message you get when you pray the fifth petition, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now, this is all fine and good for minor offenses, insults and stuff like that. But what about the big ones? What about when you know somebody well, who is your family or your friend, and they do something to ruin your life, such as destroying or stealing all your property, ruining your career, seducing your spouse, or killing or maiming your child? When friends or family commit life-changing offenses against you, intentionally and personally, it is nearly impossible to put that pain out of your heart. It's always there. And then you need to know that Jesus still offers forgiveness for you, because that forgiveness is always there, no matter what happens to you. So remember, when you find it difficult to forgive, Jesus said, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. That's Matthew 12:31. Now the Lutheran Church teaches that the blasphemy against the Spirit is the rejection of God's word, and the rejection of the gospel. It's not the failure to forgive. So this means that Jesus will forgive your failure to forgive your brother from your heart. If you confess that and ask him to forgive you for that sin. To whom does the command to forgive apply? Now, it does not apply to people who have responsibility for other people's money, such as bankers and loan officers. The money that they lend does not belong to them, but to investors. Therefore, those debts need to be repaid. It does not apply to people who have responsibility for enforcing laws, such as policemen, jailers, prosecutors, lawyers, judges, and juries. Where crimes are committed or contracts broken, these people have been given authority by God to punish or make restitution. Nor does this apply to rulers and soldiers who prosecute acts of war through the arts of defense. The terrorists who plotted to destroy the World Trade Center 19 years ago and killed close to 3,000 people needed to be brought to justice, and they were. Forgiveness does not prohibit you from reporting a crime to the state. If a crime is committed against you, you need to report that crime, since the offense is not only against you, but against the law. The law, in the form of the courts, will then handle the matter, and you are free of that concern. If a contract is violated, you may take that violation to court. The apology of the Augsburg Confession states the Lutheran position on this. Quote, public redress through a judge is not forbidden, but expressly commanded. And it is a work of God according to Paul, Romans 13. That's Apology, Article 16, Section 7. So what the Christian law of forgiveness prohibits is private revenge, not public redress. But then what about all those offenses that are not crimes and cannot be prosecuted in civil courts? And those are precisely the things that Jesus says you need to forgive your brother from your heart. But what is the alternative? You can stew around in the juices of hatred while plotting revenge or thinking about it, what you hope might happen to your offender. And the more you stew in those juices of revenge, the more your heart and mind will become a tool of sin. Remember what happened to Cain, the brother of Abel? God warned Cain, if you do not do well, sin lies at your door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Genesis 4, verse 7. Cain maybe listened to God, but he did not heed the warning. Cain let sin rule his heart and mind, and eventually, he murdered his innocent brother Abel. Now, don't kid yourself. Forgiveness is never easy. The greater the offense against you, the more difficult the forgiveness is. When you suffer great injustice, and the law or authorities will not or cannot come to your aid, you'll find some of the greatest tests to your faith. But you must forgive your brother from the heart. There is no other choice for Christians because Jesus gave that command. You can find some solace by thinking about Joseph's case, who realized that his enslavement was the will of God. You may also remember Jesus and Stephen, who prayed for God's forgiveness of their murderers. When we pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We are not asking God to forgive us conditionally, that is, to the degree or if we forgive others. In the fifth petition, we are certainly asking for forgiveness, but we're also asking God to give us his grace and spirit so that we may be able to forgive our brother from our heart. By ourselves, we may not be able to forgive, but you know, with God, nothing is impossible. In Jesus' name, amen.